Thank you again for the invitation. It's been an honor and a little bit mind-blowing to be here and hear about all the things that you have to say to each other. And hopefully to the wider society of Ireland, Irish media, politicians, policymakers, whatever they are. I am going to go in a little bit of another direction, at least in the beginning, and I hope you bear with me. I am going to tell you a little bit about IATM and its work. And although you might think it's a little bit remote and distant from the conversation that has just been going on, I do hope you will also find some inspiration in it, because IATM is, although it's working on an international level and on a European policy level for the most part, it is always doing so with the conditions of artists and our art form in mind. So first of all, and the screen is a little blurry, but I hope you can read it. IATM is an international network of over 500 performing arts organizations from over 50 countries working in the contemporary performing arts worldwide. Our mission is to advocate the value of arts and culture and empower performing arts professionals through access to international connections, knowledge, and be a dynamic forum for exchange. We do lots of different things. We hold two plenary meetings each year in a different European city and smaller meetings all over the world, where our members can meet their peers and potential collaborators from other countries, learn about other realities, share experiences and know-how to cope with similar challenges. And this is very much the essence of how I felt when I entered IATM 20 years ago as a member. We were entering IATM from Iceland, not having been there before, and we found peers immediately that shared our challenges, and it was such an empowering feeling. I can still remember the feeling that went through me after my first meeting. We publish each year various research and toolkits and perspectives, writing on all subjects of concern for the performing arts. On our website you will find them all, but I brought together leaflet. Yes, we're still producing leaflets at IATM for the sake of the European Union that is funding us. They need to see these things. And this is a leaflet about the survival kits for creative arts professionals. And this is a leaflet about our fund finder, which is our most highly downloaded publications of all publications. And then, please, there's lots of more things to look at. We also provide various opportunities for sector career development. We collect and distribute information about the performing arts, and we work rigorously on advocacy, particularly on a European level. We are very, very strongly engaged in advocacy and solidarity actions through partnerships with other networks and similar-minded organizations. We do it also through events and policy recommendations, consultations, meeting with institutions, through public speeches, research, training sessions, and more. And this is an increasing part of my work as a Secretary General, but also the other staff of IATM, and we are really feeling a demand for us taking part in very many different actions and forums and events. It seems that there's a really strong need to talk about our situation these days. Just in my first month in the office, I was asked to give a speech 4 times, and I just arrived. Yeah. And it was just like, bang, 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 immediately. So there's something in the air now. IATM was created in 1981. It's 38 years old is going to be 40 years old in 21. And in 81, internationalization of the arts was a rare thing, especially in the independent scene. ITM members today include festivals and companies and producers and independent artists, theaters, research and resource centers, universities, institutional bodies. We have a strong group of associated memberships, which are the art councils and ministries from over 20 countries, which is a very important group within IITM and something that other networks do not enjoy. It enables us to have a peer conversation on a very equal ground with a group which is extremely important for our existence. These people and all these people are part of the IITM network because they value the international aspect of their work and they want to sustain and enhance it. IITM's aim is to inspire, to be inclusive, to test new ideas, and to pilot new projects, and to help performing arts sector and its professionals to take risks and meet new challenges. Our strength is our members, our organizations and individuals working together, engaging with communities, learning from each other, sharing experiences and resources. Our role is to connect, bridge realities, coordinate joint efforts, we advise, we host, we meditate, inside our respective fields and beyond. Networks, in general, share values and ethics. We empower arts organizations to develop and provide space for creative workers to grow. We introduce international dimensions into artists and producers' lives. And we support grassroots players facing difficult political and economic times that threaten to marginalize them. Collaboration is the guiding light for IITM and its membership. And as one of our members stated during one of our past plenaries, collaboration is a radical disturber. Like art, its agency lies in its power to disrupt. It creates shift. It is perhaps one of the most powerful disruptors in a climate of fear, fracture, and a climate of politics of fear. I think this is a very meaningful statement, and it's a meaningful shift and remedy against fear to think about collaboration in this way, and something that Europe definitely badly needs right now. Cross-border international collaboration helps establishing strong interpersonal ties across national frontiers. When the bonds are established, they are very hard to break, even if political structures are falling apart. For example, Brexit does not seem to hinder cross-border interpersonal connections within our IITM art community. Despite of the toxic political discourse and the institutional changes to come, we do not see a difference. On the contrary, we see an increased dialogue and an increased membership coming from the United Kingdom. You and Ireland are certainly facing an interesting challenge ahead of you, as we have discussed today. These bleak, or if I may again, shitty conditions, which are the reality of Irish artists. They are worse than I imagined, and it cannot be a particularly proud fact for the Irish authorities to have to acknowledge that the conditions for Irish artists are amongst the lowest across Europe. At the same time, It's been refreshing and encouraging to see the joint efforts of the artistic and cultural communities as we are witnessing here today. And this is my main message and my main advice. Join forces. Collaborate across the arts in Ireland. Create the binding glue between you and work on your solidarity. It does take time, effort and more effort. It takes patience and courage and understanding. But believe me, I think it's worth it. IATM supports you wholeheartedly and has, in its most recent campaign and other policy campaigns before, both been highlighting the strength and uniqueness of the performing arts in Europe, as well as demanding better conditions for artists. And in our Power to the Performing Arts campaign, which we are actively pursuing right now, we point out, for example, the qualities, the embracing qualities the performing arts have, which too often gets lost in our daily existence. How the performing arts invites the spectator to a unique physical proximity. The inherent power in the performing arts to promote humanitarian values. And how the performing arts enable citizens to break out of the increasingly predominant simplistic us against them discourse and develop free room, I can't see this now, of accepting and understanding different points of view which are essential for a healthy democracy. These are just few quotations from our campaign. You can find the whole document on our website and please, please use it. This is one of the demands that we are putting forward in the document, and I thought it was fitting for today. When I was Googling before I came here, I came across this document that was published in May. And as I understood it, it's the Culture Committee of your parliament that produced this document. Am I right? Yes. Within the document, it's the speech of your poet Theo Drogan, who was speaking to the committee, and states, in my opinion, and his opinion as well, the most important question Ireland faces right now. That is, who do we want to be? And Theo elaborates a lot on this question in his speech, and I encourage you to find it and read it all. But if I may, I'm going to quote a few sentences from his speech. He's talking about the Irish uprising here. It is not irrelevant that three of the seven signatories were poets, that James Connolly was a talented songwriter. It is not irrelevant that the 30 years leading up to the rising was a period of enormous cultural and artistic ferment. The republic we now enjoy was, and still is, a product of liberated imagination. We imagined our liberty, our independence. We had the courage to imagine ourselves free and self-determined, and we made it come to pass. And later Theo says, agree with me then, and he's speaking directly to the committee, please, that the imagination is our primary shaping power. And let me propose to you that our artists in all disciplines are the engineers, the architects, the economists, and the explorers of the imagination. The artist in whatever discipline, your child, your neighbor, your neighbor's child, your niece or nephew, your best friend from school, that curious fellow that lives at the end of the road, The artist is one of us, and their gift to us is the generous and necessary work they do in cultivating, exploring, and demonstrating day in, day out the unstoppable and the exhilarating power of the imagination. I think he's so right. I think the power of the imagination is so highly underestimated across our countries and regions. And yet, it's been proven again and again that the imagination is the essence of change. It's that which carries mountains and makes the unthinkable happen. Finding Theo's speech made me think of a process I was actively involved in 10 years ago in my home country, Iceland. And this is both a success and a failure story. And I often find failure stories are as interesting to hear and perhaps to learn from than those of success. As you know, my country went bankrupt in October 2008. Perhaps yours did as well. But our bankruptcy was more publicized than yours, I think. Perhaps we had more criminals and riots. And these are some scenes from the riots of January 2009 in Reykjavik. We had more drama. Or perhaps it was because we got there first. We were the first ones to collapse. Or also because soon after we had a very famous eruption that happened. But never mind. We were all over the news, for good or for bad. What came later after the riots was that our government really started making some wise decisions. And one of them was to cut all sectors equally, across the board. Health, education, infrastructure, culture, arts, all sectors. We all got hit equally. Simultaneously, the leaders of each art form, and I was at that time president of Performing Arts Iceland, which is the umbrella organization of all performing arts organizations in the country. Everybody is there. We started talking, and to make a long story short, we worked together for 2 years with the government to measure the impact of the country and produced this document and this report and survey and research, which is available in English. We actually found out that the creative sector in Iceland was the third largest sector in the country. We had no idea. We mapped in detail the public investment in the country. We researched the cycle of the creation of the countries, and this is one of the beautiful designs from another report and research that we did at the time. And here's a picture of how we did the mapping of the government and public investment in the arts, and a whole lot more. We then, after having done all this research, we made and created a public investment plan for culture. It was a very substantial public investment plan, which would have dramatically changed the conditions, for example, for the independent performing arts. The aftercrash years were a really interesting time in Iceland, and I wouldn't have missed them for the world. But in 2013, we had an election, and the popularists and opportunists were voted into power. And what was their first task? Scrapping the whole investment plan for culture in one go. Gone. It teaches you to seal the deal better beforehand. But the reason why I'm telling you this story of success yet failure is that it was a time where everything seemed possible, and together we allowed ourselves to imagine a new position for the arts. Many of the plants have actually come through since, so it wasn't a total failure. But the most important thing was that in the process, it strengthened the sector, and this strength has stayed with us. On a final note, just a few advices, and perhaps I can go into more detail later on, I don't know how the time is. From my accumulated experiences as a producer and director and politician and even banker, learn to understand the other point of view, also that of the politician. Create alliances that last. Make your own policy. Claim it. Claim your space. You know it all. According to what I've learned today, it's all there. And lastly, approach every conversation with these three pure principles: curiosity, openness, willingness to share, and ability to listen. Thank you.